American at a time.
Welcome to America Tonight. As you know by now, at the beginning of each and every show, we go inside the Beltway with the insiders from Talk Radio News. Ellen Ratner joins us now. Hey, Ellen.
Hi.
I asked Victoria this the other day. Are people finally leaving D.C.?
Finally. Today, everybody is basically out of there.
Except for, I don't know, it could be a ho-ho-hum kind of moment. What happened with the payroll tax deduction? It's done. It failed, right?
It's in conference with the Senate. But Harry Reid won't call the Senate back. So it looks like things are going to go up in smoke unless the president somehow is able to call Congress back and get this done. I just don't know. It doesn't look like it's going to get done.
Does it look like he's going to...
I'm shocked.
I'm shocked, too, I have to say. Looking at this,
they would get it together before Christmas.
Yeah, I thought so, too. So the even money says the president will try to do that? I mean, that's what he's been pushing for months. Hmm. And so we don't know. It's a waiting game. It's always a waiting game in D.C.
And he was scheduled to go out, as you know, starting the 17th.
Right.
But it doesn't look like he's going at this point. I mean, I think he'll go in a day or so when he realizes Congress is not going to come back.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to something else because this is big, and we've talked to a bunch of experts here on, all over the country about now the transfer of power in North Korea. And the UN, the new government in North Korea officially gets recognized by China, correct?
That's right.
What does that mean for America?
China had a very good relationship with them.
Right. Much different than, of course, the United States, although, as we all know, we have something at stake there with the soldiers right there on the parallel. So this is going to be another thing of we have to just watch and see what happens with the new 20-something leader.
Yes, he's 27. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
I guess in the old world, before people lived so long, it wasn't uncommon to have 27-year-old leaders. Now we kind of think, my gosh, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought. When that happened, the youngest, wow. But that's what Kim Jong-il wanted because he put him in that position. He gave him powerful titles to set him up for that. So there you go, you know. How about what's happening in Iraq, the mess that's gone on now, the VP saying he really didn't do anything and that he's just being hung out to dry by Nouri al-Maliki?
I see that this is a complete and total, how would I call it? Complete and total showing that we accomplished almost nothing there. I mean, yes, we got rid of Saddam Hussein. We could have probably done that with one well-placed drone.
Right.
But what have we done if they're going to go to this infighting the second we leave?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that was the problem. I mean, the problem is it was inevitable that this was going to happen. A lot of people predicted this, and sure enough, you said it, the second we leave, the last tanks roll out, and then here we go. There's problems already. I think it's very sad commentary. All the blood, the sweat, the tears, the money, everything that was pumped into that country. And if the form of government goes down the tubes and it's the same old thing with the Shiites and the Sunnis and the Kurds and the same old problems, boy, that is what a way to go out.
What a way, exactly.
Yeah, terrible. All right, Ellen Ratner, happy holidays, and as always, thanks so much for joining us on America Tonight. Thanks. All right, so what we were just talking about there with Ellen, we talked about in our previous show with our terrorism expert, Jeff Atticott, who advises people all over the world, including when acts of violence have happened, going in and helping people to recognize certain signs and whatnot. And all along, when Jeff has been handicapping this with us, and I've said the same thing, so have many of the callers, we thought that it was, sadly, the problem with Iraq was going to be, that once there was the withdrawal, then you would have the Sunnis, the Shiites, and, of course, the Kurds in the same old sauce they've been in before. So now you have Tariq al-Hashimi, which is Iraq's Sunni VP, who is disputing the government's charges that he organized a death squad, because that's the specifics of it, targeting government and military officials. He says this is nonsense, just false claims, and it's all about politics. He says he never, ever has and never will be involved in any kind of violence. Now, there were people who videotaped confessions that they say they knew what al-Hashimi was doing. The warrant then was issued for his arrest, and it certainly is the latest in a series of crashing dominoes to fall that are threatening to destroy Iraq's, let's face it, very fragile base in a new government between Sunni, Shiites, and the Kurds, as I mentioned. So all that fear about the stability of the country, even with our withdrawal, the U.S. troops' withdrawal, is exactly what is the soup that we were predicting that was stirred up. So this arrest warrant couldn't be bigger. This is just moments after we left Iraq. And the charges are based on what I mentioned, confessions of three guys identified as security guards for al-Hashimi. They're saying they heard the things he said, watched what he was doing. Iraqi state-run TV aired the video of the men's confessions. So they've been pumping that out across the tube now for a 24-hour period. Somebody in al-Hashimi's office who didn't want to be named because of fear of his life said the three men in the videotape confessions were those guards for him, and said that the men did not look distressed but believed they were under some sort of, check this part out, threat to make the confession. So was it a setup? That's what al-Hashimi is saying. He's saying that he's saying he's being set up. This is what it's about. So what happens to him? And did he, in fact, order the security locations and checkpoints for the Baghdad Brigade, which protects the Green Zone, to be blown up, is now what the big argument is going to be about. But it just shows you how fragile the country is, and especially once the watchdog isn't there. The United States, the troops, they were the watchdogs, all of the people that were deployed again and again and again. And as Ellen said, of course, taking out Saddam Hussein, you know, in my opinion, of course, on a sliding scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, well, as it turns out, that was the best thing for the people there in one sense. But now look what's happening. I hope that somehow this situation turns out to not be fruitful. I hope that al-Hashimi, if in fact he's completely not guilty of this, gets cleared of this somehow and then they move on. But I have a feeling this is just a bad omen, and this is a sign of, sadly, things to come in that country. All right, coming up on America Tonight, of course, the bottom of the hour, each and every week we talk with our man in Hollywood, Stephen Shohet. Today we're going to talk about one of the more powerful people, Harvey Weinstein, in the game, some of the movies that he's produced and that kind of stuff. And also, speaking of movies, we have our cheap movie review coming up on Thursday, along with Nail the Score in our third hour of that show. Don't forget, our supercomputer picks the game of the week, and you could have an early Christmas if you simply nail the score by picking the right team and the right score. Oh, it's so tough, though. It's tough, let me tell you.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades. Salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning, natural colors and shapes to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget, SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Once again, for my friends at Midas Resources, these are hard times for investors. You don't know which way to go. Is the market going to recover? Is the Washington spending machine going to continue? And that means a lot of debt and maybe printing money to cover the debt. They call it monetizing the debt, but that's a fancy way of saying inflation. And a lot of people are worried about that. So you need the ultimate inflation hedge, and that's gold. Now, let me be clear about this. Commodities fluctuate in price. They can go up and down. Very volatile. There's no guarantee. But if you want the ultimate inflation hedge, you need to talk to my friends at Midas Resources. The number, 1-800-686-2237. If you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to have it in your possession, call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237. It's Midas Resources, 1-800-686-2237 for gold. And tell them Jason sent you.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com. The gift giving has begun. Why? Because Tuesday, the first day of Hanukkah. That's right. The very first night. And how do they celebrate it in the Big Apple? They light a massive menorah outside of the south side of Central Park. I mean, this sucker is big. We're talking about a 9-branched candelabra, which is normal. It would have 9 branches. But it's 32 feet tall, 28 feet wide, weighs, check it out, 4,000 pounds. It's considered to be the world's biggest in the Guinness Book of World Records. So how about that? They started lighting this menorah back in 1977. So this is the first night. And for 8 nights, each candle is lit. It's called the, you know, Hanukkah is the festival of lights, but it means every day you get a gift. So 8 gifts. How about giving it up in Minnesota for the start of gift giving? And happy Hanukkah to everybody who celebrates. Woohoo! They need their Red Bull. I know. It's all that shopping that is killing us all, I'm telling you. But it does. It symbolizes the beginning, you know, the beginning of everything. Now, the White House menorah, that goes back to 1979, the first guy to do it, first president, think of the 70s, Jimmy Carter. And from then on out, there was always a menorah. It was always lit, along, of course, with Christmas trees. But since Hanukkah comes first, that's where, like I said, the gifts start to exchange. Now, some people probably have celebrated early with workmates and other people and might have exchanged some gifts. A lot of people do that where they draw names because they're off for a week or 2 weeks. And so that may have already happened. If you notice and you're running around, you're at some of these restaurants, you'll see big tables of people. And that's probably the hint that they might work together. Maybe it's friends. But you can sort of tell, especially at the lunch hour, that's what they're doing. However, if they were breaking bread in the Midwest, it was probably alone somewhere trying to keep off the highway and keep warm, because really the highways were shut down Monday night, like we told you, with this winter weather that was killer. The blinding snow where you just have to get off of the road. I mean, you just can't go any further. Heavy, heavy snow. I think it's scary when you can't see that wind and ice to just mix that in there. And we're talking about Canada, parts of Kansas, because Canada, you always think of them having a whiteout. Kansas, southeast Colorado. Colorado, I was listening to some people today, visibility of less than a quarter mile. Oh, I hate that. And I lived in New Mexico, and I saw some pretty wicked snows there, and the New Mexico State Police shut down Interstate 40, which, of course, is the major thoroughfare when you're talking east to west from Albuquerque to the Texas state line, because they didn't have any visibility. It said zero visibility with the blowing snow. Then you also had 25 shut down, and so it was just a mess. And now it's cleaned up. It's getting cleaned up because, of course, during the day on Tuesday, it was sunnier, so people could get to, you know, get on with their business, whether they were headed from point A to point B or they were actually headed to the slopes, because snow accumulation, 6 inches in the Texas panhandle, not bad, 6 inches, but it's only good once it's down and once it's on the slopes. It's no fun when you're driving in the stuff. No fun whatsoever. Today was also a great day, as we're mixing it up here, kind of our potpourri, for anybody with stuff in the market, because, you know, it's like a roller coaster ride. I always say it's legalized gambling. We're at the craps table just rolling the dice, especially if you control whatever it is you have in the market yourself. But the Dow went up 337 points. So that's good. That means all this Europe debt crisis, for a day, there wasn't negative talk. Because once the negative talk starts, that's when the market sinks. Seems ridiculous, doesn't it? So we know, whoops, everything's negative, means it's going to go down. It's obvious. 337 points. And to that end, you look at the S&P, because all the numbers are going to be up, it jumped 36 points. These are indicators. The NASDAQ, 80 points, too. So traders are just looking ahead, I think, to that lending program that we've talked to our financial guy Saul Album about by the European Central Bank, and thinking that, well, you know, temporarily anyway, this is helping the fears. It's helping to alleviate the fears. Also, I think stocks might have got a boost because there was a better than expected report on the housing market in this country. The number of new homes breaking ground, so think of all those builders, and we've had in the past lots of builders on the show talking about, because I think that's how you can tell what materials are being ordered, you can tell where we're headed, and a lot of them have had to really pare down staffs. Well, the rate jumped up 685,000 in November. I mean, that's new homes, with requests for building permits actually going up 1.8%, close to 700,000 compared to last year. So that's good news. If somebody's, you know, if somebody's got a few coins in their pocket and we're seeing movement, because think of how many people we have in this country, and think of how much land and possibilities there are, how many developments there are. Who knows? I think it's countless. I don't know that we could accurately give you a number on that, but I'll call it countless. So if people are coming back to the table, they're getting out of apartments, or they're selling a house, getting a new house, whatever the reason, it's good for the building business, and it's good all the way around for people who supply the materials and people who work in that industry on crews and whatnot. I know there's plenty of people that listen to America Tonight that find themselves in the situation where they were out of work and they were doing as much handyman stuff as they could because there wasn't a place to swing a hammer. There wasn't a place to put up a frame, since really everything had kind of leveled off. And worse, it just didn't look like there was anything on the horizon. This is scary because we talked about this a ton, too, on the show. When we go back and we look at the big stories of 2011, and we've thrown out a few already, one of the biggest stories has to be always Mother Nature and the things that have happened this year, whether it's the floods, whether it's a tropical storm, whether it's power outages, terrible tornadoes that ripped up so many areas and killed so many people, but also the drought. The drought in Texas, and this really will put it in perspective for you. You know that they say about a half a billion trees have died across the Lone Star State because of the effects of that drought? Think about how big Texas is, and think about half a billion trees. Now, these numbers came out from the Texas Forest Service, and it's just an estimate, but they think they're pretty good numbers. 100 million to 500 million trees, that would be maybe 2 to 10% of the state's 5 or 4.9 billion trees just dead, because they and it's hard to even have enough of that data to pull it all together, because what about some of these places where trees were taken out on some people's homes where, you know, and they're counting some of that. They're counting trees in urban and rural forests and that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of that that wouldn't be wrapped in there. I know that I've talked to three different people who complained to me that where are they getting the extra money? They had to have trees removed, big trees, like an oak tree that had to be pulled out of a yard because it was dead and it was going to fall in the house if they didn't do that. And it was that bad. So when we talk about Mother Nature, and we'll do this when we look back on the big stories, that this is one of those things that would fall into that category because of the lack of rain, which now in the state of Texas is still, some of the lakes are, you know, in all of them, I think, are in the minus category as far as water is concerned, down, you know, 17 inches at one lake. I think it's Lake Whitney is the name of it. But, boy, that tells you. And you think of a tree. If you remember in school, well, I was thinking back to my science days. Remember they were teaching you about tree and the whole life cycle of the tree and what the variables are. And think of what a drought would do to that, especially a drought where you're talking about an ongoing one time after time after time. And then in some of these areas that I mentioned, of course, in the forest where they're not getting it, and we saw the wildfires, but in neighborhoods where you weren't allowed to water because they didn't have it. They didn't want to run out of water. I mean, that's extreme, extreme. And it wasn't just in Texas, too. There were severe to extreme drought-related conditions that affected about 20% of the United States as of the end of November. That was a big story. Hang with us, Stephen Shohat in the wings.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The world's best solar-powered oven has gotten better. Sun ovens are now available with a brand new Christmas Sun Dehydrating and Preparedness Kit, which includes everything required for cooking, water pasteurization, and dehydrating with the power of the sun. Prepared families are storing food for months and years, but only have enough fuel stored for days or weeks. A sun oven lets you harness the sun's power to bake, boil, or steam food, heat water for purification or personal hygiene, or dehydrate. For the past 25 years, Sun ovens have been proudly made in the U.S., are durable, and have a long life, and come with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Don't be fooled by cheap imitations. For a limited time, preppers can save $65 on the purchase of a Christmas Sun Dehydrating and Preparedness Kit. For a discount coupon, visit sunoven.com/GCN. That's sunoven.com/GCN.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
It's always so much fun to chat with, I think, the best storyteller around in Hollywood. His name is Stephen Shohat. You know, I've talked about his book. He's written this book that lives on and on. In fact, I don't even know. I think it's been a couple of years since the book first came out. And the stories are amazing. Hollywood stories, short, entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Don't tell my mom, but I'm getting it for her for Christmas. Or I already have gotten it, so it'll be under the tree. I'm not just sucking up to Stephen Shohat, but he joins us now. Hey, Stephen, how are you?
Kate, how you doing? And go right ahead. Keep talking. It's great.
You know, we've talked about this before, but you can do another one because you have so many backstories. You could put together a whole nother, I think, a whole part two.
You know, I'm sure it'll come when it comes. I'm constantly collecting new stories, and I tried with this one to put out the best of the best. And it got to the point where I actually published it last year, 2010, in June. But it got to the point where I had to pick a stop date because it does go on and on and on. And I just would have kept writing. So I just had to get the product out. But that being said, I tried my best to put the most entertaining stories out there and have a real all-star cast. So the book, Hollywood Stories, has over 1,000 anecdotes about stars and movies and producers and directors and a lot of twists and turns. You know, I think if people read it, they'll get, you know, some surprises and things that, you know, maybe they already know them, but maybe they're told to them in a very entertaining way, I hope.
I think they are very entertaining. You know who... who you could write volumes on, Harvey Weinstein, Weinstein rather. You could write so much about what he has done in Hollywood and his maybe unlikely meteoric rise through the ranks, starting back in the early days when he got back into the business. Now it's not uncommon for him to be in the running for, or his pictures to be in the running for several Oscars, and he has done some unusual things to campaign for some of the movies that could be up for it this time around, and hasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's a very colorful character, that's for sure. I mean, last year he was having a party, and he had all these bigwigs there, including Hillary Clinton, and he was trying to push the King's Speech, and he walked up to the publicist and said, "Is everybody happy? Is everybody happy? Take care of that table over there. Make sure they're happy. Make sure they have drinks." And she said, "I'm not working for you anymore." So he's definitely a person who's into the moment, and yeah, right now he's got three movies that he's promoting, and he's doing it in a very cunning way. I shouldn't say that. Cunning's probably not the right word, but let's say clever. The Artist, the silent film that we talked about a couple weeks ago on your show, he had a screening for Charlie Chaplin's Granddaughters. And they absolutely loved it. And, of course, that gets out there to Oscar voters. It gives the movie some prestige. He went and wrote an article for the Huffington Post about the movie My Week with Marilyn. Now, I don't think that movie is really a Best Picture-type movie like The Artist, although I guess you never know. The thing about that is getting Michelle Williams nominated for Best Actress. And if she could win a Best Actress award, I mean, it was kind of a low-budget movie, $10 million. It would get more play, get his people more money, and you know, he always makes the argument that if a movie like this succeeds, it lends to other maybe less marketable subjects, or at least not blockbuster type subjects, getting made. So he's very clever, because he says whatever I do is for the good of the industry. And then the third movie that he's really pushing is The Iron Lady, which hasn't come out yet, which is of course Meryl Streep playing Margaret Thatcher. And for that one, he's gone on board with the enemy, sort of, going on Fox News. I mean, Harvey Weinstein, a diehard Democrat, going on Fox News, going where he thinks he can reach the most Republicans, telling them how much they'll love this very fair portrayal of Margaret Thatcher. So he covers all the bases when he's marketing his films for the Oscars, that's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. And he's had, I mean, he's got a treasure trove of movies that have won in the past. It's like I said, it wouldn't be the Oscars if he wasn't somewhere in the building, right, with something up. I mean, how many years in a row did he have pictures and whatnot up? I think really since he started getting in the game, don't you think?
Yeah, goes way back with The Crying Game. And see, he and his brother Bob, their parents are named Mira and Max.
Yeah.
So that's why they called the company Miramax, and they really became experts at buying low budget films at film festivals and just marketing them for all they were worth and getting Oscar prestige. And then they went into debt, because they, after a while, other people figure it out. Hey, we can go to film festivals too, and we can bid for movies, and things got a little bit more expensive. And then they ended up making a deal with Disney, which seemed like an odd fit, because Miramax was making movies like Priest and Kids, movies that were very, very controversial that you wouldn't normally put the Disney label on. But that was the thinking at Disney, that they could reach a whole new audience and get more content and build up their film library. And it was a tumultuous relationship, that's for sure, with the Weinsteins, you know, not always getting the respect they thought they deserved from the Disney executives, and the Disney executives thinking that the Weinsteins were sort of loose cannons and needed to be controlled a little bit, or at least not make subjects like Fahrenheit 9/11, which could potentially turn off people to the whole Disney brand. See, I think that's one thing that happened at first. I mean, I don't think people really cared or really noticed that Disney and Miramax were the same company for a while. But after a while, I think people became more aware that movies like Bad Santa, for example, were coming out of the Disney Corporation, even if they were made by Miramax. And the other thing that happened was that when Miramax started, they were getting people for very low salaries, like a Ben Affleck or a Matt Damon. People didn't know who they were. I mean, they come up with this great script, Good Will Hunting. The movie's made for very, very cheap, even though Robin Williams participated in it. But as those guys became stars, they want more money. And Gwyneth Paltrow wants more money, and their agents want more money. And so everything, the whole Miramax model becomes a little bit more expensive if you're going to keep working with the same people.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about this. The Gold Globes, of course, were announced, and Best Motion Picture, you had The Descendants was on the list, The Help, Hugo, The Ides of March, Moneyball also made it, and War Horse. If you were just in an early look looking at who might get this, handicap it for us, what do you think?
Boy, I haven't seen them all yet. I mean, I'm thinking, I still think The Artist is going to be the best picture when all is said and done. And I guess that didn't make it in the category you said. So I still think that'll get it when all is said and done. But Moneyball is a very popular movie. The Help is a very popular movie. So, I want to see more, but off the top of my head, I think I'll go with those two. But I've got to catch up because I haven't seen Hugo. I have seen Moneyball. Moneyball reminded me very much of The Social Network. And, of course, it was written by the same person, and it sort of has the same style. So, it'll be interesting to see. I've got to catch up before I really make a great prediction for you.
Yeah, you know what? You got to see The Descendants. I went to see The Descendants, and it was really good. It was very un-Clooney-like.
Well, I'll definitely go see it. That one's probably the top of my list, and then Hugo's probably second. And War Horse, I'll tell you, it is not getting a great response from audiences from what I've read. Now, that doesn't mean anything until you actually see it, and you never know, they might be in a bad mood that night. But so far, it doesn't seem to be playing that well, so it'll be interesting to see how that one pans out.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's always fun. Award season is always fun. And so before we know it, that'll be upon us. We'll have a lot of fun looking at some of those pictures to be sure. Stephen, thanks so much as always for coming on America Tonight.
Hey, you got it. Thank you. And everybody have a great Christmas and visit HollywoodStories.com if you'd like.
Oh, absolutely. Happy Hanukkah and Merry Christmas and all that to you too as well.
You got it.
All right. We were talking about pictures. It's interesting because I was thinking that The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo comes out. It's out on Wednesday. That was a very popular book. And one of the stars, Daniel Craig, of that movie is now in negotiations to continue the whole James Bond role for 5 more films. So they've had this weird thing lately for any of you fans of James Bond and how many different Bonds have there been. If you're into the pictures, it looks like he'll be around for maybe 5 because they think they're going to be able to get that deal done. But for now, for the holiday season, his star is shining in this this big movie, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Looks pretty good. I know that I'll go and see it, and I'll give you my little cheap movie review. Which reminds me, if you go and see something or you rent something that's a little obscure, shoot us an email at americatonight.net and give us your own cheap movie review. If it's good, we'll give you a copy of my book, Level the Playing Field, that came out a couple of months ago. Hang with us. More to come here on America Tonight.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven 3-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection action so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses 3 groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Drama in the race for the Republican nomination for president in 2012. A reminder, we're going to be broadcasting from New Hampshire. We're going to be broadcasting, very excited about that because it's the first primary. It will be broadcasting all the sights and sounds. Ron Paul should be up there, Mitt Romney, Newt Gingrich, everybody that you've seen on the stage for all of the debates because nobody's dropping out. Except for Herman Cain, who, of course, is gone as of the last 2 weeks. But otherwise, other people also, other policymakers and whatnot and pundits will be around. We should have a lot of interesting things to bring you from New Hampshire. And that is coming up in the second week of January. So we're going to get to 2012 and the blame game and all that stuff and what's going on in the polls and all that. But before we do, quickly, besides polls, you know, I like these studies where they reveal something to us. Like right now, you're driving down the road. If you just tuned in and you've never heard America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, before you're thinking, What is she talking about? Who's this woman? I think I might have heard her voice before. Was she a guest on the Flying Saucer Man show? Who, by the way, I respect immensely, George Norrie. No, we've been doing this for a while. But what's interesting, I think, to me in talking about little nuggets of information that you hear, we've talked about texting a lot because, of course, the National Transportation and Safety Board wants to really push, I believe, a ban on texting completely, just ban texting altogether, not outside of the car, but in the car. And it's the same conversation we've had about cell phones. Well, how about this? Let's just give you another twist here. They're going to put out a new paper that's going to be published next year in the Journal of Business Ethics. Check this out. Finds that people are more likely to lie through text compared to face-to-face communications or video conferencing or audio chat. And they did this study where they grouped people into pairs and they were asked to do a role-playing game. So one student, for example, would be a stockbroker. The other would be a buyer. And the researchers found that they told the stockbroker that the stock they had to sell would lose 50% of its value in 1 week. They also gave the stockbroker a financial incentive to sell as much of the bad stock to the buyer as possible. They found that the stockbrokers absolutely would lie about the quality of the stock or not mention how bad it was, any of that kind of stuff. They would do whatever they had to do. And they would be most likely to be honest about the quality of the stock if it was through video or some kind of face-to-face communication or audio chat, but not texts. So what they believe is lying through texts is easier. They call it lean media. So because you can't get the emotional cues that might alert someone to how you're reacting to something, and you just get the text. There's no darting of eyes or hands moving around or any of that kind of stuff. But researchers found something that surprised them. When they asked buyers how angry they were that the stockbroker had lied to them, the researchers found that the buyers were more furious if they'd been lied to through text than if they were lied to face to face. Wow, what does that say? I think this is interesting stuff because we live in a world of text. Let's face it. I was late to the party. I hated the text thing. I did. But now, in my personal life, texting is what happens every day. It's the preferred method of conversation because we're too busy. So it's, I'll see you there, go to lunch, doing this, whatever. You know, just short clips, but absolutely texting is it. And that this paper, I'll be interested to see some more of it, but they put it out at the Saunders School of Business, and they're at the University of British Columbia. They put this together that's going to be published, and it's interesting that people get upset or angry if they're lied to face-to-face, but when they're lied to in the other communication, it's a different feeling completely. Completely. So here's something you should think about. If you're running late and you're going to text your buddy, your date, your wife, whoever, I'm almost there, when you're about 20 minutes away, you might want to relay that message in a phone call instead, because the person might be upset, but at least they'll be less mad. Now, if Matt didn't head for the soda machine, Matt, you are a chronic texter, or texting is just how you communicate, and so do all your friends. Do you think that's true about the I'm almost here thing?
Well, I was too busy texting, so I have no idea what you just said.
Of course you were. If you're meeting your buddy at the bar, if you're meeting, right, your night off, you're meeting there to go watch a game, have some beers, flirt with the ladies, whatever, if you're, you know, actually 20 minutes away and you're a little bit late, do you say, hey, I'm almost there, when you're still really pretty far away?
There are some occasions where that happens. But usually people have actually, myself and a buddy of mine are notoriously late for things. And so when I say, hey, I'll be there in 20 minutes, people know that's probably 45 minutes to an hour.
Oh, nice.
So the time has been adjusted. So everyone knows, so it's all right.
All right. So if you're late, you're like Matt. If you're not late, you're like me. I'm usually right on time, and I've learned my lesson of saying I'm almost there when I'm not. I will say this. I'll stick up for Matt. He came on an assignment with me to Washington last year, and he was very good at texting. I'm coming off the plane. I'm coming down, whatever. Boom. We had no problems with the texting thing. So it was pretty accurate when we were doing that and we were on location. It's a lot different though.
We had good texting chemistry.
We did. We had good texting chemistry. But in our personal lives, I guess, you know, when he's out there with his friends, he might leave them hanging. All right. I said I would give you a glimpse into some of the polls, the latest polls that have come out about the Republicans in 2012. The former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, and former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney are in a dead heat nationally. This, though, is a Washington Post ABC News poll. They both got 30% among Republicans and Republican-leaning voters, because, you know, this is the primary. But check this out. Congressman Ron Paul is surging. You know what he's polling at? 15%. That is double his numbers in early November. And all other Republican candidates are in single digits. And one of the questions of who Republicans think is best positioned to defeat President Obama, Romney leads by 10 points. He's viewed in this particular poll as the best Republican candidate, anyway, to deal with the economy. And then, of course, there's a bunch of negatives. They both carry Gingrich and Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney's black eye is Freddie Mac. Come on now. No question. And, of course, for Romney, it's a layup. It's the health care plan and what happened in Massachusetts. Interesting times to watch what's going on in the race to be the Republican standing at the end. And it'll be a quick 6 months. Once we swing into January, they will be, as I say, blowing and going, just moving along from state to state, primary to primary. And it's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out in 6 months. In 6 months. Because all of you who took our straw poll, remember, you picked Herman Cain, and right behind Herman Cain, though, Ron Paul was a very close second. Now we see that he's starting to move up in the polls, so maybe this will play out in the Iowa caucus and the following week in the New Hampshire primary. Any thoughts on the show? Send them to me, americatonight.net.
We got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rules all at the same time?